Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, y'all. We back. This brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Ryan Jill.
Asalaamu Alaikum. This is your brother, Montoy X, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, back for another week, hopefully to have a constructive build with the family. We do this every week, y'all, Collective Minds, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think, so we know how that go. Before we get started, y'all, how was the week, and do y'all have any announcements for the family?
My week was great. No announcements, but another great week. Well, I guess that is an announcement, and I'm happy to announce it. I had a great week, and it was that I'll pass it on to Mufasa.
Yes, indeed. You know, I had a productive week as well, but I did want to touch on the shooting that happened, the mass shooting at the mosque, and extend my condolences out to the people and the love, people and the family members who lost their lives at the mosque. That was a senseless act of terrorism, even though the president don't want to call it terrorism. It was a senseless act of terrorism that this race soldier committed on those people at the mosque in New Zealand. And we need to deal with him accordingly as such.
Yes, indeed. I was surprised they arrested him alive. But then I wasn't.
Yeah, that's not...
But then I was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I was, but I wasn't.
And if you saw when they arrested him, I don't know if you caught it, but while they got him in handcuffs, he was bold enough to throw up some type of white power sign.
Yeah, the white power sign. Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
He's standing on what he did. That show you the type of evil entity we dealing with out here.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, family, I agree with what you said, man. We definitely got to be aware, be on the lookout. You know, they trying to turn up. What I feel is they last push, you know what I'm saying, to maintain dominance and control. So they pulling out all the stops and doing what they can do to try to hold on to the inevitable, you know, which leads us to our topic today. No, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say he was bold enough to leave a manifesto to, you know, to talk about why he did what he did. So
and he was recording it. Yeah, he was recording it live, too. They took out all the videos down, but he was recording it live on, I believe, Facebook and maybe Instagram as he was doing it. And then once it got, you know, went through, they took the videos down. But, yeah, he was recording it live, so.
Right.
Like you said, just show what we're dealing with. Now, as far as today's topic, family, please give us a call as we chime in. The number is 929-477-1697. We have a very special guest also as well to join in with us on the build, Minister Donald Muhammad. Because the topic for today is the prophecy in Genesis 15:13, is that a prophecy for Black Americans or is it actual historical record? So we want to chime in on that, dive in deep, you know, they say it's the 400-year curse is supposed to be, quote-unquote curse is supposed to be lifted in 2019 since the first, quote-unquote, slave ship arrived in the Americas in Virginia in 1619. So there's been a 400-year span. So people are starting to look back in, at this particular passage as prophecy for the black people in America. So, again, we go dialogue with Minister Donald Muhammad. I guess before we bring him on or bring him in, we want to give our Collective Minds panel just a quick chance to chime in, and then we're going to bring in our special guests and go further. So we always go with the with Rigel first. So from what you understand,
giving the honor to the goddess. Honor to the woman.
Yeah, giving honors to the, exactly, to the goddess, to the feminine principles.
Thank you.
Our queen here on the show.
Thank you.
So.
I know you guys can't see me, but I am taking a bow.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So what do you think about this particular passage? Now, what I want to do is I'm going to read the entire passage, and that way we can get it in full context, because it actually goes from Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 through 16. So I'm going to read it, and then everybody, you know, we'll get to go in. Okay. Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. The Lord said unto him, know for certain that the 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So we, you know, we zone in on the particular part where it talks about the 400 years in a land that's not theirs. So, you know, from what you understand and from what you know about history, Rigel, do you see that as a prophecy for black people in America?
That's an interesting question, because you guys already kind of know my theory or my point of view when it comes to history and books and things like that. So it is tough for me to make a determination, but it sounds like it can definitely be applied to our circumstances, just that bit of a context right there. It definitely sounds like it could apply. You know, could the writer have meant something else? Yes, of course, that as well. You know, but I don't really have a solid, I know you, that doesn't surprise you guys, I know, but I don't have a solid either way. I believe that it could be, and I believe that it could be not, if that makes any sense.
Right, I'm with you. So it could be either or, basically.
Right, yeah. I mean, depending on the content and everything like that. But I can see how one could apply it, you know. So I'm not going to be here to argue that it's not, because I can understand how it could be applied to us and what's going on. I can totally see that. And just for the record, I believe in prophecy, you know, so I'm not going to be the one to come and try to argue against it. But I will listen, you know, but right now, and I've always stood where, you know, it could be or it could be not, you know. I don't know.
All right, that's fair. That's fair enough.
That's fair.
Brother Mufasa.
Well, as you guys know.
Right, yes, sir.
As you guys know, we've been doing this for you know, a little over 2 years now. And y'all know my position as far as the Bible. You know how my position was. Now, I have to say, you know, I'm fresh on a new walk, a new path here. So I am learning more and more about scriptures. You know, for those who did not know, you know, I recently processed into the Nation of Islam the past few months ago, and Minister Donald Muhammad is the head minister at the Masai 10, Mas 28. So I'm really looking forward to his breakdown of this scripture, and I look forward to learning more about the scriptures myself. Because, like I say, people on this show and my calls know where I come from with the Bible and my past feelings with the Bible. I didn't rock with it. I didn't mess with it. I didn't believe nothing was in there. I could have took it and threw it in the trash can, and it wouldn't have fazed me. But on this walk, I'm learning that there is some truth in this book. So I'm like Raju. I'm learning. I'm looking to soak up knowledge. So I'm ready to hear from the brother minister, and get it from him.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I mean, I can really save my spiel because I'm more along the lines, you know, with Brother Mufasa, because I'm in a new space, so I've turned a corner in my view of the Bible. And from my understanding, I look at it as more of a prophetic book as opposed to a historical book. So when we talk about the 400 years, I just feel like, you know, it lines up. Matter of fact, the only group of people that I know of in history that it lines up with is Black Americans, because from my study, there's no record or archaeological evidence of the Hebrews ever being enslaved in Egypt from the research that I've done. You know, you had all these people, and they're supposed to be wandering around in this land of Egypt, but there's no, you know, artifacts, no pottery found, no record that even the Egyptians themselves took, you know, of that particular incident or what have you. So I don't believe that actually happened. And Egypt was supposed to represent the most powerful nation at that time, just like you have Egypt mentioned in the Bible, and you also have Rome mentioned, because these were two, you know, powerful nations at the time these things were written. So if we fast forward to today, they would represent the United States, which, you know, we're the most powerful nation on the planet at this particular time. So, like I say, everything seems to line up as far as prophecy, as far as that passage go. But like I say, I'm still learning as well. And what we want to do now is bring our special guest in, Minister Donald Muhammad. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I've been listening.
Yes, indeed. Okay, first I just want to thank you for sharing some of your evening wisdom and insight with us on Collective Minds. And we definitely appreciate you for coming on this evening. Before we get started, I guess, in the dialogue, if there's anything you want to let the people know about yourself, you know, just before we get started on this dialogue, you want to let the people know something about yourself.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank you all for having me on. It is indeed a blessing and an honor for me to be on your blog program. I'm just your brother. You know, I just happen to be the student minister at Muhammad Mosque number 28. I've been in the ministry over 35 years under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and also under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, you know, that is enough right there, you know. Still on the battlefield, you know, trying to make my word bond. Still involved with the upliftment of our people, which we call the resurrection of the dead. Not the dead in the cemetery, but we are talking about the mental and spiritually dead. That means because our people have been put to sleep from our 400-year sojourn in slavery, stripped of all of the knowledge of self, and reduced down to the level of the beast of the field, took our names, our language, our culture, you know, our religion. So therefore, you know, we have been put under the auspices of an open enemy who brought us into this condition. But guess what? The open enemy is not going to get us out of the condition. We're going to have to get ourselves out with the help of Almighty God. So that's about all I would have to say as an introduction to myself. I'm just a student and a servant, okay?
Yes, indeed, sir. Appreciate that. And Ashe, to what you just said, we appreciate it. Now, as we get started, fam, I just want to let the callers know that we will be getting to you in a second. We just want to give the brother a chance to build on this particular topic. We are talking about Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, and we're asking, is that a prophecy for the black people here in America? And I'm going to just read that small little passage, Minister Muhammad, and then we'll let you go in. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. So I guess, you know, from your study and from your knowledge of history, sir, is that particular passage a prophecy for black people here in America?
Well, first of all, what edition of the Bible are you reading from? Because something has been left out. Okay?
Okay.
It sounds like the New International Version. And we have to be careful with all of these versions simply because it's designed to leave things out and mislead the people. Okay, so oftentimes these individuals that is translating and retranslating and retranslating, they are taking things out so the people won't be able to grasp what is really being said. It's supposed to say that after that time, the 400 years, that I will come, God will come. See, they have taken God all the way out of this.
Okay. Great point.
Basically, you know, it goes all the way back in the 1600s when King James translated the Bible, diligently compared and revised the King James Version. And we have to understand why King James had a reason to want to retranslate the Bible. It had already been translated 16 times before he got a hold to it. But in England, what happened was the church, which was the commoners or the everyday people, was protesting because they could not read the Bible. That Bible was a sealed book only for the aristocrats. So basically what happened is that they began to protest. So therefore, without having a great upheaval, what King James did, who was a king, a ruler, what he did, he summons the writers and some historic points out that King James was a part of those writers, okay? Not King James, but Shakespeare.
Right, yes, sir.
Was a part of those writers, and I was told that once they had translated it out of the original tongue, he cut the tongues out of those who had helped him to do so. Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. Why would a wicked ruler who gives him the authority to translate the word of God or retranslate the word of God? That's just like Donald Trump taking the Bible and giving his version of it, you see?
Yes, sir.
But, that translation that was quoted has been tampered with, or it has been doctored up where God is out of the picture. But it should read, know unto Abram that thou seed would be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted and serve another people for 400 years, going into bondage. But after that time, I will come, and I will judge that nation in which they shall serve. Now, that's a mouthful of that. And I can understand that you are cold or cool on the Bible, simply because the way it has been presented to us as a people, and especially you all represent a whole new generation. So, I mean, you ain't feeling it so well because you ain't feeling that simply because it's not in, it doesn't relate to you at all the way it has been taught. And we have to really understand that we was in bondage in America for 100 years before they introduced the Bible to us. And when they discovered that it was not incompatible to slavery, then they gave us the Bible because it was illegal for black people to read. But they didn't give us the scripture to help us get out of the condition that we're in. They gave us the scripture to help make us what? Better slaves. And I just want to quote Karl Marx, who was a socialist. Now, I'm not quoting him because I'm a socialist, but he said that religion is the opiate of society. Said in another way, in a modern way, religion is the crack cocaine of society. In other words, it gets people high on something, in most cases, that don't even exist. We believe in a mystery God, and in believing in a mystery God, then that means that we believe in something that we can't put our hands on, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me go much further in relationship to that particular passage, Genesis 15:13. One of the major tricks in religion is they have the people thinking that history is prophecy, and prophecy is history. We are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that 25% of what you read in scripture is history, but 75% of it is prophecy. And the reason why they switch it up is because they don't want the people to know that prophecy is being fulfilled in the hour in which they live. So if people think that this happened 4,000 B.C. with Moses, then we cannot see the fulfillment of the prophecy right now as we live, not understanding that God has come and he is judging the nation right now, America, in which we have served, okay? We are taught to watch the weather patterns. In other words, we are taught that God would judge America with rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes. Have you noticed the hurricanes? The hurricanes that have come on board in America in recent years? Have you noticed the tornadoes that's been dancing in and out of America? As a matter of fact, so many are dancing that they don't even report it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that? Yes. Have you noticed the weather patterns? Have you noticed that it's zero today and 70 degrees the next day, and people are getting sick? Have you noticed that the confusion in the government right now? I mean, this is prophecy. This is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. But if we don't look at it from the position of God coming to what? To judge the nation. See, that scripture that you read from, you know, they left that out. Okay? So that means then, that means it does not have anything to do with God, and then it leaves it up to a debate among people, and God is not even involved in it. Okay? Yes. Now,
yes, sir.
Since they have turned history upside down, how can the people know the time and what must be done? How can we see the fullness of the prophetic aspect of the scripture? Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that, look, we believe in the truth of the Bible, but we believe that it has been tampered with, and it must be reinterpreted so mankind will not be snared by the falsehood that has been placed in it. Okay? I mean, religion is used to make the people docile. Religion is used to put the people somewhere when they die and they forget about why they are living. See, this is why young people ain't falling for that right now, because they can't see no value in it, okay? All right, I'll stop there.
Yes, sir. You said you gave the people something to think about. I'm going to just defer to Mufasa and Sister Roger if y'all want to get a question in. Go ahead. Because I got some questions, but y'all can go ahead.
Roger, you got one?
Well, let me say this. I don't know everything. I'm not paying myself.
Oh, no.
Knowing everything.
Yeah, yes, sir. We understand. Well, yes, we understand. We just building.
Okay, Roger, did you have a question?
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. Brother Minister, I got a question. Can you explain how or help people who say, well, hey, slavery started here in 1619. So, you know, up to now, just 2019, that's just now the 400 years, and, you know, we able to vote and do all these different things. You know, we got money now. You know, can you tie in that viewpoint of people that they feel like, hey, really, we free? And also that 400 years is, you know, that 400-year mark of 1619 to now, that 400 years is just starting.
Okay, that's a real good question, my brother. Yes, based on that record,
mm-hmm.
1619 to 2019 is 400 years, okay? So that's letting mm-hmm. you know one thing, that time is up to rule not only over black people, but to rule the entire world. They're losing influence. They're losing power all over the planet Earth right now.
Right.
And then the
right.
intensity of God in his judgment is being more and more intense every week that goes by. Okay? So now, let's go back a little ways further. Okay? You got to remember that the first slaves came into America in 1555. Okay? On a ship named Jesus. Okay?
Right.
If you don't believe that, go to the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. It'll tell you the first slave ship landed at Jamestown in 1555. And the name of the ship they came over on was Jesus. So now, listen, that's 64 years. When you subtract 1555 from 1619, that's 64 years. Now, me growing up as a young boy, I was born in the great state of Mississippi. There was a radio program called the $64 Question. And as time went on, the program came on television. It was called the $64,000 question. It means that it took 64 years to totally break a strong black people down to the level of a slave. You can't make a free man a slave. So it meant that the 64 years, that it meant what? It took babies from mothers. And so therefore the baby or the child could not hear the people pray. They could not, they took away their language, all right, their culture, their religion. So basically in that period of time of 64 years, it took them 64 years to break us down as slaves. Now, they don't put that in the history books, okay? But it's really 464 years that we have been in America. But I'll go along with the 1619 and the 20 and the 2019. But look, I mean, God is still just see how they took God out of that scripture that you just read. God is still judging America right today as we live. There, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that it would be confusion all throughout the land, and you must say they are confused today. Just turn your TV on and look at the news, okay?
Right.
I hope I answered your question. If I didn't, give it to me again, please.
Yes, sir. You answered the one question. My second question was, what do you say to people who feel like black people, you know, we've arrived? Because, you know, we got money and cars and houses, and, you know, we can move about in this country like the white man. What do you say to people like that who black people who feel like we're not slaves, we are free?
Well, I feel that we are the world's largest consumers, okay? I mean, yeah, you know, we are free to move around, but are we really free? How do you equate free, okay? We don't own nothing. What industry
That's right.
do we own, okay? What
nothing,
land
exactly.
do we own here in America? What do we produce in America? In our neighborhood,
exactly.
yeah, there are those who got nice jobs, and we can ride in nice cars and things like that. But the banks is making the money, you know, based on interest rates, okay? We can buy houses, but who's making the money? It's the bank. And I'm not criticizing that. But you cannot equate a consumer with freedom, okay? So look at the condition of our people. The condition of the people bears witness to the fact that we are not free. I mean, look at our community. We are consumers. Everybody comes into our community and nurse themselves to financial wealth except us, okay? Now, let's look at it. Look at the Koreans. They come into our community. They own the beauty supply store, the majority of them, along with a few Arabs, okay? Look at the Vietnamese. They just got here yesterday. They have taken over the nail industry. Who are their consumers? Who do our sisters go to get their nails done? They go to the Vietnamese. We just call them all Chinamen, okay, or Asians. But, yeah, they are Vietnamese.
Thanks.
Look at the Arab. They got all the grocery stores and also the gas stations along with the Indians. And the Indians have the other quick shop places, you know, and service stations as well. When I grew up, I seen a time that black folks owned all the service gas stations in our community. We owned all of the quick shops in our community. We didn't know what it was to go to somebody else to get our car fixed. We went to our own. So, therefore, if you call that freedom, what's going on today, that means we are going backwards simply because we have bought in to a dream that has turned into a nightmare for the black man and woman in America.
Yes,
that
sir.
Is
yes,
correct.
Sir.
And if you just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we have special guest Minister Donald Muhammad from Mosque Number 28 here in St. Louis, and we are talking about Genesis chapters in Genesis, particularly Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, as it pertains to black people in America, and we're just trying to, you know, get some clarification and edification on whether if this is historical. Or is this prophecy for the black man and woman here in America? And I did want to ask one quick question, and then we'll go to the call lines. Now, I don't know if you heard, Minister Muhammad, but there's a movement that's been kind of brewing up here lately, and it's called the ADOS movement, ADOS, which stands for American Descendants of Slaves. And we kind of touched on this last week, but I did wanted to get your opinion. Basically, this movement is asking, well, not even asking, I don't want to say that, they are demanding reparations in the form of money, land, resources allocated, you know, any type of reparations for black Americans, foundational black Americans, descendant of slaves. They're demanding from these candidates moving in this political process some type of reparations. And I know that the nation has been, you know, demanding reparations as well. But how do you feel like as a grassroots movement as far as black people, you know, demanding what's actually owed to them? Do you think, you know, black people deserve reparations? And do you think, you know, it's plausible in this day and time that they would or we would receive reparations?
Well, I want to just go back on the previous conversation that know that if we understand history and the Egyptian people bears witness, they don't even have a history of no Europeans going into bondage and building no pyramids in Egypt, okay? I just
right.
want to say that. And I've been to Egypt four times. So
yes,
so they don't even have that in their history. So definitely
right.
it has to be prophecy. Now, as far as black people, we deserve a reparation. Of course, we deserve a reparation. But what method is going to be used in order to gain reparation, okay? Now, I'm against the government giving black folks money based on the condition that we are in, okay? Simply because the only thing we'll do is go spend it right back, you know? We'll be broke in 1 year. This is why right now those who earn money or win money with the lottery, most of them, 95% of them, are broke at the end of 1 year. Because if you don't know what to
That's
do with
fact.
Money, you might as well not have the money. Yeah, reparation has to come. That's a political term, okay? Just like Europe and the United States is giving reparation, especially German to the Jewish state of Israel. they're still giving reparation to them for the Holocaust that took place in Europe, okay? So basically,
right.
reparation has to be based on land, okay? Land. If you, in other words, and the reparation is that mean a land of our own. So in other words, in the, when you read the prophecy of the children of Israel going into bondage for 400 years, it meant that they came out of Egypt, all right? And they went into the wilderness, and then they stayed in the wilderness for so long because the old Negroes, I mean the old Israelites, were too scared to fight the Battle of Jericho. They had to wait till a whole new generation come about, which they call the Joshua generation. Well, I call this young generation today the Joshua generation because they have something that the older generation don't have. They don't have no fear of the enemy, okay? But they just
Fact.
Need direction. I mean, you know, giving people reparation and giving them money does not solve the problem. We have to
right.
be able to change
Correct.
The heart and the mind of the people that we can have reparation, something that's going to last. Not for a day or a month or a year, but something that's going to last forever, meaning to give our people a lifestyle forever, meaning that we'll be able to educate our children. We'll be able to protect our land that we have. No drugs coming in. We ain't selling no alcohol or no cigarettes, things that's going to poison the lives of our people. Okay, now that's real reparation. But I
yes,
don't believe that we should be giving individuals money. Of course, I could use about $2 million. I mean, you know, I ain't going to turn it down. But all praise is due to Allah. That's not the proper way. You know, a land of our own and qualifications for that land because we have gone into bondage. That's the promise of God in that passage that you just read, that we would go into bondage, but we would come out with what? Great substance, all right? Not individually, but what? Collectively. And each brother and sister will be given a vote to see who want to go into a land of their own. You don't have to go. You can just stay right here.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes,
well,
indeed.
I hope you
yes,
get that
indeed.
$2 million, brother. I could use two myself, and we know Bahamas March 28 is going to be looking good then.
brother.
All right. Well said. If you're just joining us, family, we are on the Collective Minds Radio building with Minister Donald Muhammad, and we are talking about Genesis and prophecy as far as the Bible goes and as it pertains to black people here in America. Do you have time to take some calls, Minister Muhammad?
I'd be honored to take them.
Yes, sir. We appreciate
okay.
it. Roger, you want to go to call line?
Mm-hmm. Let's start with area code 314-283. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah,
caller 314-283. Yeah, hey, how you doing, caller?
Yeah, hey, peace, caller.
Hey, what's up? I was just listening in. You know, I don't know how much time y'all got for us. Bill, this is Ron.
Oh, hey.
Peace. What up, Ron?
What up? Yeah, I was just listening in. You know, I don't know how much time y'all got on the show, but I know I'm supposed to come back on or whatnot. But my stance on that, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you my stance on that 15:13. You know, the question is it about the black man in America? You know, biblically, I would say yes, definitely. But also in the scriptures, let us know that, you know, Israel was scattered to the four corners of the earth. So it's not only the black man. When you get into the book of Isaiah, I believe the 12th chapter, talk about the islanders as well. Jamaicans, Haitian, and so forth and so on. And
okay.
my stance as far as the Bible, man, you know, I can't get all in depth to it because I know y'all got other callers. You know, I believe in the whole book with no tampering. You know, we can get in, you know, depth with that. As far as getting even deeper about this prophecy is for the black man and not the so-called Jews of the day. You know, as many scriptures that touch bases on that, you know, from the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and so forth and so on. You got Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. You know, so as far as the Bible, I mean, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of the Most High, but we can get everything clarified. You know I can't really go in depth with it, but that's my stance on the scripts and my stance on 15:13. It's yes, it is about the black man. and also the other nation of Israel that's been scattered abroad.
Okay. Right, yes, man. Indeed. That's
you
a good point.
You can be more clear than that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had to make it short.
We hope to do a part two on this, and we could bring you back next week, brother, and let you really build on the subject. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hopefully so.
Yes,
but I'm
looking
forward
to
it.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with my brother. You know that we have been scattered all over the planet. You can't go nowhere in the world and not find our people, not find the original people. You can go into the Isles of the Pacific. You can go to New Zealand. You can go to Australia, the Aborigines. You can the Waoris in New Zealand. You can go all over. You can go into Japan and find the black man. So we have been scattered all over the planet. Why? Because the planet belongs to us. In other words, the planet was called Asia before the white man changed it to Earth. So the planet belongs to us. Okay. So I'm not, but we are talking about a particular instance right here, okay, of our people going into bondage for 400 years, you know. But when we all understand the rulership of the Western world, especially the white man, he has been all over the planet and ruled the world with a rod of iron. So he ruled Japan,
right.
He ruled China. But we are taught that the Far East would throw the yoke of colonialism and neocolonialism off first. So really, when you go up into the Caribbean Isles and things like that, the people in Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, when you find out people down there, well, they came over at the same time on the slave ship. It just so happened they was able to free themselves, semi-free themselves, before we was able to even think in terms of freedom. You take now in Haiti. Haiti overthrew the French, and this is why they are catching hell now. The Western world has never forgiven them for beating Napoleon's army down in Haiti. So wherever you go in the world, you will find a black man, but you will find a black man on the bottom of civilization.
Yeah,
that's
I totally agree with that.
Thank you. Thank you, caller, for calling in. Yes, sir. Did you have one more point you wanted to make? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I totally agree with that. That's why I was talking about all the scriptures.
Thank you, brother Ron. Thank you. You stay blessed, brother. Keep up
you
the good
my,
work, man.
You too, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We appreciate you, caller. You want to get another caller, Roger?
Yeah, let's go with caller 314-724. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment? Hello? Caller, 314-724. You on with... Okay, let's go ahead and listen.
Maybe they just
listen. Okay, we'll go with...
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go next to area code 573-424. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I'm listening in. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
We
no
appreciate
problem. Thanks
calling.
For listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. If you want to do one more, I did have a question, but you can go ahead with the caller.
Okay. Area code 315-767. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes.
Got a lot of
I've been listening. How you doing? This is Brother Zen. I've been listening.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
How you doing?
Yeah, we
hear you great. How you doing?
A question or a comment?
Hey there. Yeah, this is Zen. So, yeah, I do have a comment. I have a couple of comments. So, my first one goes to Cosmic Kev out there. And his introduction, or not maybe his introduction, but, you know, 15 minutes in or so, he was talking about he doesn't believe that the Exodus actually happened and that the Hebrews were never really slaves because there's no records and all that whatnot. But that's a
Correct.
Common practice of the Muslim religion to wipe away everything that they can that has to do with anything when they take over an area.
So but the Egyptians were not Muslims, so the Egyptians were not Muslims per se.
Who lives there now? Who lives there now?
But they still cannot. They still have not tampered with the temple walls.
Okay.
There's history all on the walls that do not pertain to any Hebrews being enslaved in Egypt. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Where I'm actually going with this is the fact that you said you don't believe that what the Bible said about the Exodus actually happened. Yet we're having a whole discussion on something else that the Bible said. So why should we accept that that's going to happen or happened? If you can just pick and choose what you want to believe or not believe in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? So either the Exodus happened or it didn't. So if the Exodus didn't happen, then what can you say if anything else that happened in the Bible happened?
Right. That's why the other part of the question was, is it a prophecy? What I'm saying is it lines up to be prophecy.
It doesn't line up to anything.
Because
if you're saying that part of the Bible may or may not be true, then it doesn't line up with anything. It's just more words. Because if the Exodus was just words, then this prophecy is just words. Now, if the Exodus did happen, that was a 400-year bondage of the Hebrews, and God did come, and he did bring his torment to Egypt, and he did lead the people. He led the people as a smoke cloud in the ark. He was there with the Hebrew people as they journeyed to their new land. He was amongst them inside the tabernacle. So it already happened. If you want to believe that prophecy, then you have to believe the Exodus. If you don't believe the Exodus, then there's no point believing in a prophecy. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't just pick and
no, I
pick
hear
and
you.
Take
but
from,
I don't
let me chime in. Let me chime in for my brother. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing
yes,
good.
Yes, sir.
Good. We are not here. The program is not designed for us to argue. But, you know, and I'm not trying to take away nobody else's belief system, all right?
Yes.
Because when we look at the condition of our people, we all can consider ourselves failures because the condition of our people bears witness to the fact that we're all failures, okay? So, you know, but we set a premise when I first started talking that the greatest trick that the enemy did was that he made prophecy history and history prophecy, okay? And that means that we, in the time of the fulfillment of prophecy, we have a mentality to think that that has already happened. And I laid out the foundation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that 75% of the scripture in both Bible and Holy Quran is prophecy. 25% is historical. That was the premise that we laid down. Now, you know, I'm not trying to take away another person's theological concept or another person's theological aspect. He's asking me from the position of a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam. Now, I have to agree with my brother that, you know, during that time, Islam had not come on the planet, okay? And we can't consider what's going on right now in the Middle East. In other words, with all of the turmoil that's going on right now, they are not the example. You know, I'm not patterning my life after the Arab nations of the Middle East. I mean, I can't because I'm a black man in America. Okay? Now, I could be called a Hebrew. I accept that. You understand me? Based on the language. Okay? Because we don't want language to confuse us. Okay? In other words, because language does confuse us. I mean, I'd accept me being a black man as a Hebrew, okay? I'd accept me being a black man as being a Muslim, one who submits their will to do the will of God, a Hebrew one who have crossed over from a world of sin into a world of righteousness. I accept all of that, but we cannot become confused and take prophecy and call it history. That's the point I was trying to make, my brother. So, but I'm not trying to change a person's religion.
Yes, indeed.
What you believe, all right?
So what you're saying is, if it's a prophecy from way back when, it can't happen yet. It just can't because nothing could have happened in between the time that that was said or stated and now, because nothing happened in between. You're saying nothing could have possibly happened in between, and the Exodus didn't really happen because there's no record.
Since that time, see,
and then
you're
also comparing.
Hold on, caller. Let him respond, and then we'll have to go to other callers.
You brought
let him
up Exodus. I didn't. We were talking about a particular prophecy.
Is
go on.
Right.
Go on.
Was being discussed, and you're saying it didn't happen, but you're still saying this prophecy could happen. But my second point is, we are a culture of narcissism. If we want to think everything is always about us, that's ridiculous. That book was not written, and that stuff was those stories were not placed in that book, thinking about some stuff happening in the 2000s.
Okay, my brother,
and there was no way
opinion,
that there's no way. And
get to some other
brother,
callers.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And
yeah, we appreciate
your opinion. I really do. I respect your theological approach, and you would never.
It's not theological. It's not theological. It's not theological at all. It's logical.
Will you listen? Will you
listen,
down, brother?
I'm not talking theology. I'm talking logic.
All right.
Okay, so we're not talking about.
We appreciate your call.
Thank you so much, Kama, for that.
Yes,
let me say this, please, moderator. You know, you will never have me catch me trying to criticize another person's belief or criticize another person's faith simply because it's just like taking out a knife and cutting someone on their side of their face. And it
that's right.
Every time they look in the mirror, they'll think about you. I'm not going to attack nobody's religion. All right. And
that's
I'm
right,
not going
indeed.
The way a person believes is not going to change our condition. We can argue until we turn blue for the next 10 years. It's not going to change
that's
our
right.
condition in America as black people. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Yes, sir. And that is a fact. And we appreciate and we respect that. And the caller, like you say, he has the right to his opinion. But,
absolutely.
You know, we have to move on. Let's get some other callers in here. If you're just joining us, family, we have special guests in the building, Minister Donald Muhammad, and we're just talking about black people in America, in particular the Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, and we're asking, is that a prophecy for black people here in America? Let's get to another caller, Elijah, please.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I want to know why Donald's on here raising all this cane.
Oh, shoot.
We got an alumni on the phone.
I thought you'd have enough on Thursday nights at the palace, man. And you guys got to stop saying that black folks not going good. Your daughter works at Boeing Aircraft, and she's making Bluetooth money, man. She's doing very well. Get off that stuff.
Man, now you recognize his brother.
let me tell you something. Exodus chapter 6. The settlers use the Bible for their reasoning for coming here. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 4, and I have also established my covenant with them. Verse 4, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they are strangers. The pilgrims used it to do what they done. And it goes on to 8, I will bring you unto a land concerning thee, which I did swear to give it to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. So when they were reading the Douay Rheims Bible, this land was given to them. That's what they assumed, the pilgrim. So ethnic groups, so for black folks to say, Now, if that's what they want to say, I don't argue with them neither. Let them go ahead and say that. And Exodus with Moses coming out of Egypt don't make no damn sense anyway. All they had to do was walk about 20 miles to the north and went around the sea in dry land. There was no Suez Canal at that time. And
that's right, supposedly.
Also, for the part to see at that point, that sea is 3,000 feet deep. Ain't no horses
right.
going down. So that's just ridiculous what they was talking about.
Right, right, right.
The Haitians, the Haitians fought with George Washington too. Henry Christophe, the Haitians and the French fought with George Washington against the British and some Indian tribes who was also fighting against George Washington. When the British got their butt whooped, guess what happened to their collaborators, the Indians? They got attacked too. And you had Indians
right.
that was fighting with George Washington. You talking about human nature.
Well, I will agree with all of that, Pianki. But the point about it is I think we're going off the script here. We was talking about, in particular, Genesis 15:13. And this is why we are so confused, man. We can't stay on a subject matter for 3 seconds. You know,
Genesis 13.
And I'm not trying to, but we are the only people. Who else do you know?
It is what it is.
That's not the only people. Blacks ain't the ones that it applied to. That's what the ones who had experienced. Wait a minute. The ones who had experienced it. Well, let me finish. The ones who experienced it and decided to write about it. That's the ones.
Who experienced it?
The Babylonians done it. You had the Barbary. The whites in the Barbary was enslaved there
at
the Mediterranean.
Not 400 years.
Well, we don't know how long they was enslaved. But hang on. I'm going to say this. If black people want to believe
why
it,
are you stating it?
I say we don't know how long these people was done. The Bible is not no history book. Look at all the stuff in it that's erroneous. And the God himself made erroneous statements that don't comply with science.
Let me go back and lay my foundation. Thank you for your statement, brother. We said, and I said, that we believe in the truth of the Bible, but we know it has been tampered with. And it must be reinterpreted that what? We will not be snared by the falsehood that has been placed in it. That's a fact, okay?
Well, what is the truth in the Bible?
Listen, there are allegories. That's a general statement, brother. We don't even have time for all of that. All right, and you know it, Pianki.
So
you know
it can
I
mean
know,
anything.
All right. Yeah, so basically, you have to be a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in order to really understand that. We don't have time to go into all of that, my brother. But my point is the question that they brought me on to ask me, does Genesis 15:13 apply to black people in America? And the answer I gave is yes. Now, you can rebut all you want to. I'm not gonna argue with you on that.
Absolutely.
But
I don't think you should.
Yes.
But I'm gonna say this. Like you said that the earth was called Asia. Well, who called it Asia? And what did the people in Argentina what's now Argentina call it? That's an assumption. People in
That's
one area.
Brother.
Well, it is, because if you in Asia, I mean, just look at Asia, any part of it. People on the other side of the world was not using those terms. They could have called it whatever. Anyway, if people want to believe in prophecy, it's perfectly fine. Let them go ahead and do it. And nothing wrong with that.
But,
people believe
then,
in all kinds. Stevie Wonder.
I don't even see a reason why you could call in, because we do believe in prophecy. At least I
call in every week and beat them up.
Is that I don't believe in it. It's fine with me, and I'm not going to
call in.
I call in every week, like I beat you up out there at African Palace every Thursday. I'm down south now. Down there in Louisiana, where it's nice and warm.
Well, you know what I said about you, Bianca. I said you suffer from that disease of white supremacy.
That's all right, but when you look on the downtown,
in other words, most people that suffer from the disease of white supremacy has a side effect, which is black inferiority. You know, there are black folks that are going to always try to be the champion of the white man. the lawyer of the
That's
white
right.
man. Let the white man be his
That's
own
right.
lawyer. You ain't got to come in and defend him. He has already
That's
written
right.
in the sands of time. But there's always
That's
somebody
right.
black going to come and try to defend or defeat somebody that has come among you and gave you some
That's
proof.
Right.
But that's the way
that's
you
right.
are. That's black,
yeah.
that's white supremacy. And
that's
white
supremacy
we
in the mind.
Suffer from black inferiority. You can't see nothing good about your own people, you know? So
that's
all
right.
Alhamdulillah, as we say, all praise is due to God. But look,
all
my
praise
brother,
but we love you, brother.
I'm going to have to get off this program.
Okay. We love
yeah,
you, brother.
Thank
okay,
you.
How
thank
much
you,
you got time for one more question?
All right, then. Y'all stay blessed, man. Thank you so much for having me on. If you want to have me on again in the near future, please do so. It has been such an honor. And I like your calling audience, too, man, including Pianke. I mean, they are thinking, brother. They are some thinking, brother.
You
okay?
have time for one
I
more
like
caller, brother
everybody
Donald.
Is not going to, everybody's not going to agree with everything you say, but we don't have to become
That's right.
disagreeable. Okay.
That's right. We
what
appreciate you,
say, you
brother? Too, brother. We appreciate it.
Mr. Donald, you got time for just one last song?
I'll try.
I think it
brother.
Was someone. You hear that
okay.
right?
Okay. Let's go.
Let's make it a quick one.
Okay. Area
make
code.
It a quick one.
Okay. Area code. Okay. Area code 504-606. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Okay. They just missing it. Area code 314-240. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
I have a question and a comment. Assalamu alaikum, family. This is Brother Cottrell from Muhammad Smiles.
Right here.
Alaykum
assalam.
Hey, how you doing?
Well,
thanks for
calling.
I'm good.
I'm calling in today in support and defense of the question and what I've been listening to. So first and foremost, my spiritual leader, Minister Donald, I have a question for you, something that I acquiesced from this year's Savior's Day. And it relates directly to the question that's being asked. We arrived here in the year 1555, 400 years before the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan joined the Nation of Islam. This does not include those 64 years that it took to turn us into the nigger, because those who are listening understand that term.
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay. 400 years later, after that 464 years, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan addressed us in Chicago at the United States. Minister Ishmael made a statement. And he said that we were at the United Center making a statement to show that we were united. Okay? This is 464 years. The word tells us that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And we also taught that Islam is mathematics. This is 464 years, the doing and undoing of this process. Now that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has revealed to us who he is in the flesh. So my question to you, Minister Donald, is this is my interpretation in my very limited knowledge. You've been teaching on this. You've been looking directly at me. But my question to you is where are you with this? And I do have a follow-up on this as to something else that I've gathered in relation to this, but this is the prophecy that we follow, that we understand, that is invincible. So I'm just curious as to what your response is to, you know, what I've gathered from this.
Well, I'm in total agreement with you, brother. You couldn't say it no better. There's no need to come in on that. And thank you for that too.
No, thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
So now just so we're clear for our listeners, just the caller and Minister Donald, just so we're clear for the listeners, what are we saying as far as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan? What is his role in you know, the plight of black people and where we are today, you know, as it relates to what he talked about at Savior's Day and so on and so forth. Just for our listeners, if you could break that down for us.
Well, the Honorable Minister.
Very simple. Who are you asking him?
No, you are. I'm not
Minister
qualified.
Minister Donald, I was asking
okay.
you that.
Okay, great. Well, I think you are looking at a man that has been among us working hard for 63 years for the upliftment of our people. And I don't think you can get it no better than that. And, I mean, he's been championing our cause for all of these years and all of this time. As a matter of fact, he has rebuilt the Nation of Islam right before our eyes. So definitely, you know, he is our champion. He's my champion, you know. So everybody don't agree with the minister. That's fine with me. But let's keep working, you know. In other words, it's like Moses and the magicians. The magicians threw their rod down, and Moses threw his rod down, and it ate up the magician's rod. So for those that are talking, you know, let's produce your work, you know, and then we can move on. So if your rod turned into a serpent and the minister cast his, then it turns into a serpent and that serpent eat up, that just means that what you are producing and what you're putting down is not as powerful as what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, has produced. As simple as that, okay? So we can move on from that, all right? So the minister is our heavyweight champion. He has been championing our cause, and he has attacked the system over and over again. He has shown us who Satan is. He has shown us who are the synagogue of Satan. So basically, you know, the scripture said that they shall not come until the man of perdition, the man of sin, be revealed. He has done that excellently. Okay? So thank you
so
much.
And thank you for your call,
brothers
and
sisters.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, and thank you so much. And may Almighty God continue to bless you. And I pray that your program just blossom and bloom and continue, because I like the concept that you have, and I know you're going to be very blessed. Thank you all so much for having me, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank you, Donald. I appreciate you.
You're very well.
Hopefully I'll
see
you tomorrow.
Inshallah. God willing.
Inshallah.
Yes, indeed. Peace. Yes. All right, family. We just had special guest, Minister Donald Muhammad. Also, thank you, last caller that called in. And we were talking about Genesis, chapter 15, 13, as it pertains to black people in America. I think that was a good bill. Once again, I just want to thank the minister for coming on the program, sharing some time with it. I know he's a busy man, so I just want to thank him one more time for calling in and sharing some of his wisdom and insight, you know, with the Collective Minds family. So thank you again, Minister. Now, before he left, I did wanted to ask him, but I could just, I guess, pose this to y'all. And it kind of relates to, you know, it kind of relates to black people being in America for 400 years and so on and so forth. And even if we look at the last 100 years, say, you know, since we've been free. And this is in light of the school cheating scandal that just broke last week, where you had all these rich white people, some Hollywood actresses and actors, they were paying to send their kids through school, basically falsifying test scores, saying they played on these different teams. They was playing, they were paying in excess to like $500,000 in order to get their kids in these elite schools like Yale, USC, Columbia, you know, all these different colleges. And it just kind of blew my mind, because here it is. They've been telling black people all this time, well, only thing you need to do is work hard and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And, you know, it's because you ain't got no father in the home that you're failing. And, you know, all these different things that they tell black people. But yet, when we look on the other side, these people are actually cheating. You see what I'm saying? They're cheating to maintain their power and domination over us. So my question is, how do you compete and play fairly? Because that's what I see, you know, as black people as a group, we're playing fair, meaning we're working hard. We get two or three jobs, kids up late studying, trying to take these tests and go to colleges and do all this stuff. But yet there's a system in place where these people are just flat out cheating the system. You know, I call that system white supremacy. But, you know, some people don't like that term, but that's where we're at. So I wanted to ask the minister, how do we as black people compete with a group of people that's actually cheating and have an unfair system built for them? You see what I'm saying? Because we know if the system was fair and just, they wouldn't be able to compete with us. So they got to have a system that allows them to cheat and pay for things and boost themselves up and, you know, just brush them through college without even making the grades. And here we are trying to do the right thing, and we still getting left behind. So, you know, I'm not saying that we need to cheat, but how do we compete in a world that's competitive when we have people that are cheating, you know, but they smile at us and say, no, you didn't succeed just because you didn't work hard. You didn't pull yourself
right,
up.
Right,
just
right.
Stop complaining. But on the other hand, they're cheating the system. You see what I'm saying?
Well, let's do this. Let's do
go
this,
ahead, brother.
I'm going to say, since we getting down to the end, why don't we use this last 10 minutes to make sure our callers got a chance to chime in on the topic. And even if they want to chime
that's
in,
right.
Or you just ask, that'll work. And then I'll wait until, you know, I wrap up to, you know, comment
okay,
on that.
That's right. Let's do it. Let's get to the other callers. But I want to put that out there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's go with 314-642. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? There you go, 314. Caller,
you're
back.
The line, buddy. Yeah,
yes, brother. Yeah, my comment is that, you know, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave his believers their names, he didn't ask for permission. He just gave them a righteous name. And I say that the same in terms of our system of education. You know, when we decide that we are seriously about separating, then we have our own education system that we begin to validate ourselves. So if
that's
we
right.
have a system of education where we go to, say, for instance, Chicago, and we get certified as teachers based upon the model of supreme wisdom or on the educational system that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put in place, and we began to teach our own. No matter
that's
what
right.
education system that may be, we have to stop looking for validation through the enemy's
mm-hmm.
system, period. If this is a time of breaking away and a time of separation, then we must have enough foresight to move forward and be strong enough to separate and validate ourselves in whatever endeavor that we seek to go forward in. And that's my truth, brother. Peace and blessings.
Yes, indeed.
Thank
yes, indeed.
You,
thank
you
Tom, for that comment. Yeah, thank you. That was great. And, yeah, I concur. I agree with everything you just said on that. You know what I'm saying?
Let's try area code 573. 424, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Area code 573-424.
Just keep doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
All right. Yes,
yes
indeed,
indeed.
Caller. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you, brother. We appreciate that.
We appreciate it.
Area code 314-724, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
All right, my name is Brother Frank. I just want to say I heard some very, very, very powerful things tonight. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm listening.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You so
we appreciate
much.
You
calling in.
Yes, thank you.
Yes,
so
indeed. So yeah, now as it pertains to just real quick, the previous caller, when Minister Muhammad was still on the phone, he had touched on the concept of the nigger, and that also relates to the conversation because for me, You know, the nigga was invented. It started with slavery, and I think the nigga was perfected, let's say, post-1970. You see, so through all that process of breaking and traumatization and rape, slavery, breeding, everything that we have went through, the nigga is an invention that was created right here in America. So for me, being born in America, I feel like the battle that I have, you see what I'm, the battle that I have is between my higher self, which is my God self, and my lower self, which is the nigga. Because I can't lie, there's a little bit of nigga in me, you know what I'm saying? And I got to try to exercise out and relearn and rethink everything that I've been taught. But that goes into the 400 years of us being breeded here, that, you know, a lot of us have a little bit of nigga in us, unfortunately. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to get out as we move forward past this 400 years. But, yeah, I'll let you go ahead.
Okay, let's take this last caller real fast before we get to wrapping it up. We're going to make this quick, and this will be the last call. Area code 314-448. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Just a comment. I haven't really heard the show, so I don't know, you know, if anybody came on. But long story short, I'm sure y'all got to the bottom of the Genesis 15:13 thing. And if you haven't, that was a prophecy concerning the Israelites.
Okay. Right, you kind of breaking up, caller. What'd you say? You just kind of breaking up.
I'm sorry. I said, I said I don't know if anybody else called in about the Genesis 15:13 thing and got y'all to the bottom of it, but that was the prophecy for the Israelites for concerning them in Egypt. Slavery hasn't been that long in America. It hasn't been 400 years. That's a narrative. That's a story. That's not fact.
Well, now, what are you going by? When did slavery start in America? Because the first is documented as 1555, and the one that landed in Virginia was 1619.
We talking about the oppression that they teach us about in school. That didn't start till about the late 1800s, if I want to say 19th century. Yeah, like around that time.
Late 1800s. Now, wait, we have to be accurate.
Because
the Civil War was in 1865. The Civil War was in 1865. So when you say late 1800s,
I understand that. And there were a lot of people that were colored that owned slaves during that time. They don't tell you that, but that was the case. But around that time is when the power started to switch hands. And things became, no, 17th century, sorry, 17th, late 17th century, sorry. Late
right,
17th
right,
century.
Okay, there you go.
Sorry,
there you go.
Sorry, pardon me. Late 17th century. Hey, when you like a lot of history, man, your numbers get mixed up sometimes, pardon me. Late 17th century, that's when the race-based type of thing started.
It is what it is.
When we started saying, the Caucasian man took over, and he became in power as we know. It wasn't in the 1600s, so that would, you know, the timeline wouldn't be accurate. Basically, that's the point I'm trying to make with the 400 years thing. But long story short, that's what Genesis is talking about.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate that insight, caller.
Gotcha.
Let's go to did you want to get that other caller, Roger?
Thank you.
No, that was the last. We only had time for that last call. So.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah, we all winding down.
Yeah, that's
family.
What I said. That's
fine. Yeah, we've been winding down. It's been you know, an excellent show. Once again, just want to thank Minister Donald Muhammad for coming on. Thank Brother Mufasa for, you know, setting that up, making it happen. You know, I just give y'all the last words. I think I done pretty much said, as far as this topic, I do believe that it lines up. I don't know about the entire thing of Genesis, but I know this particular passage, it seems, lines up with black people in America, you know, like I say, from my study. And like the minister even kind of confirmed, he's even been over to Egypt, and there's really no record of Israelites being enslaved in Egypt. They kept accurate records. There's things on the temple walls. There's a lot of documentation and records that are kept. There's no archaeological evidence of Hebrews being enslaved in Egypt. So that's a myth. That's a narrative that's been pushed, but you cannot find that story outside of the Bible. And like Jay-Z said, we don't believe you. You need more people. You got to come with some more evidence. You dig? So, you know, you can't just have one book and that be the book that verifies something happened. No, there should be other things that line up just so we can verify and know that this is accurate information. So, you know, I think that particular passage and prophecy lines up with black people here in America. So I'll let y'all get the last word. We got about 9 minutes to the live show. And I'll let y'all go in if you want to go, Mufasa.
Well, again, I want to say this again, just like you. I appreciate Brother Minister Donald taking time to call in and give his analysis of the Bible and that scripture. And I also want to thank the callers who called in, who were very informative.
Yes, indeed.
You know, like you always say, for the kids, we might not all think alike, but we all got to think. And that's the reason why we have this platform, so that we can come together collectively and discuss topics and discuss things, so, you know, we can learn. We can be it. Only way we're going
to That's right.
We're going to get any better is by studying and, you know, studying the facts and trying to decipher, you know, truth from fiction. So,
right.
I appreciate Minister Donna. I appreciate the callers. But as far as me, you know, like I told you earlier, my walk is still growing in scripture. But with that being said, from what I heard tonight and things I have been looking at, I would have to agree that it is prophecy. Because I have not seen, you know, it's like you said, I haven't seen the evidence of this, of that 400-year travel, 400-year journey, happening to any other group of people throughout history. So I'm looking at it like, yeah, I mean, it's got to be us. We came here in, you know, 1555, followed it up to, you know, the 63 years, like the minister said, of us getting beaten down and broken, because that took time.
That's right.
You know, to turn us into that, you know, to that nigga mindset, like the brother said earlier, but that took time to get us to that point where now they can shape and mold us to, you know, to what they want us to do.
But,
yeah, I'm still studying on it myself, but right now I'm a believer that it's talking about his prophecy, speaking about the people here in North America, the black man and woman here in North America.
That's right. That's right. And just real quick before Roger go and closes out, because you brought up on a good point that made me think about something. You know, as we have these shows and we dialogue, like the brother said, we're really looking for truth. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about who's right, who's wrong. We're trying to have these conversations and sift out the truth. That's why I don't mean to be cutting off folks, but when I hear something that sounds inaccurate to me, I feel like I have to step in and at least make a point to say something. So we're looking for truth in these conversations that we're having, you know, because that is the way, like they say, that is going to set us free. You know, we don't want to be on here just spewing information and saying facts and stuff that's not accurate. We're just to make a point. We're looking for the truth. That way, people can do for the research and edify themselves and apply that truth in their lives. you know. So it's not about who's right, who's wrong. It's about we just trying to find the truth and what's most accurate, you know, for the situation. So I just wanted to put that out there, Brother Mufasa, maybe think of something. So, you know, just wanted to put that out there. And we elect Miss Rigel Starr closes on out.
Rigel Starr. So just like everybody, you guys already mentioned, I too would like to thank all the callers and participants and all the passionate callers who called in. And
oh yeah.
All passionate about everything. You know, that's right. That's great. I hope that it's all done, you know, in love, you know, that we are all here, you know, like Brother Kevin said, to help, you know, bring clarity to each other, because nobody knows it all. So at least if we can start with that understanding, you know, hopefully our next step can be with love, you know, done with love and for love for others, you know. Because ideally, if you recognize we don't know it all, we just pose an information. We try to provide a positive platform for everybody to feel comfortable to come on and say what they feel, you know, without feeling like they're going to be criticized or anything like that. So we appreciate everybody. We appreciate the support. We appreciate the guests. And we just ask
That's
everybody
right.
to continue to support us and continue to rock with us as we grow. And find us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can email us with any type of topic suggestions or just anything.
Yes, indeed.
So we stay looking to grow, and we want you guys to grow with us, so we appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday and the Sunday after
Yes, indeed. Have a blessed week. Yeah, have a blessed week, everybody. Make it happen.
Yes.
Holla, bala, both coach out. I'm sorry, I don't know what
it is.
I don't know
what
it
is.
I don't know where it came from. Something jumped in me.
You know where that came from. It came from what event y'all just come off of? Savior's Day. You got the spirit in you.
No, okay. Well, in the spirit of Savior's Day, I'm gonna hit you with a. All praise is due to Allah and Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
All right, okay. Okay, thank you everybody once again. This is Collective Minds Radio. Collective Minds Radio, where you don't have to think alike, but you all got to think.
Yes, indeed.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the turn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's earning or a new one, calling with your viewpoint. Prepared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers. Of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, breaking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like. Collective Minds.
Stop.